Well, one of the things that, in fact, the main thing here for us is the kingdom, the harvest. How many know the main thing for Jesus, amen, is that we win souls, right? Amen. That we win people to him. And in order for us to do that, we ourselves have to be walking in life. In order to be effective witnesses, we have to be walking in life. When you hear the word revival, what do you think of? Do you think of an event? Do you think of, well, we're going to get together and we're going to have a revival? And sometimes just the fact that we're saying with our mouths that we're going to have revival sometimes helps our hearts to believe for revival. And so we're geared up. We're expecting revival in this event that we plan. Are you with me?
Yeah, yeah.
And what we need to do is we need to shift that to, you know what? I am to walk in revival. I am to be revived, and I am to continually be revived.
Amen.
When you think of we revived someone who had died, right? It means you brought them back to life. And so this is a church that believes that God wants to bring everyone back to life.
Amen.
And those pre-Christians that are out there, amen, just like we at one time were pre-Christians, God wants to bring them back to life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's returning to God. Revival means return, vive, to life. To return to life. So, if we as individuals live revived, and we come together corporately, guess what we have? Revival, life, yes, all of that. What we can never forget is that in order for us to have life, we have to be in communion with him who is life. We must be praying to him, amen. We must be talking with him. We must be singing and praising and worshiping him who is life so we can have life. Because it's possible to serve God and yet not really be in love with God. It's possible to do church things, God things, but not really have a heart for God. And in some cases, people think that, you know, doing some kind of Christian activity somehow is a way for them to merit a place with God. How many know that's not a means to that end? Amen? Service to God should flow out of a love for God. Not as a means to get right with God or a means to get close to God. But true service to God is birthed out of a love relationship with Jesus. Amen? Because we love God, we want to bless. We want to give. We want to share. We want to love others. Because the love of God is in our hearts. Because we are in life. Therefore, we're able to give life. Did you know you're able to reproduce? You're able to give life? Any fathers in here, right? Mothers? How many know that children are a result of intimacy? I know this is 101, but sometimes we need to be reminded about this very same truth. That in the spirit, you need to be intimate with God in that sense that we are worshipers of him. We are in communion with him. We are walking in him. We are abiding, as Jesus put it, abiding in him. And when we abide in the vine, we produce fruit. A tree does not have to force fruit. A tree bears fruit because it's in the right place. It's in life because it's in a place, amen, where there's living water. There's life-giving water. It's able to produce the right elements, the sunshine, you know, the environment that it's in. We are the planting of the Lord. We're his planting. And the Lord has done everything to provide for us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. He's given everything freely for us. He's removed the stones. He's pulled the weeds. He's done so much in our lives and made himself available. Hallelujah. The fountain of living waters that we can come and we can drink of him and be refreshed, and that we may bear good fruit of love and joy and peace and all the good things. Amen. Amen. Question today. Do we love God with all of our heart? Another question today. Are you walking today in the same love, infatuation, awe, wonder, excitement, anticipation that you did when you first came to Jesus? More so. Okay. Well, how many know that you cannot manufacture revival? There's no substitute for it. It's not something where you get together and you hoot and you holler and you jump up and down and make a lot of noise. That's hype. What we need is the substance, which is Christ. Now, we make a lot of noise in this church, but it's happy, joyful noise, and it's a joyful noise unto the Lord, right? So we're not just trying to manufacture or make something up. What we're doing is we're rejoicing in God, rejoicing in the Lord. We're blessing God. We're lifting our praises to him. We're lifting up Jesus. Amen. And God delights in his people. He rejoices with us. We rejoice together as we celebrate life together. And when our hearts are for him, then he will be with us. Yes. It's possible to mouth all the words, you know. It's funny. And if I look at you, it's not because I'm thinking about you when I say this, but I'll look at the wall. But sometimes, you know, we can just be shut down. We can be in the right environment, the right place, the right time, but be shut down. And we're not open. And then sometimes it's almost like a forced thing where I have to do this because, well, they will think I'm not spiritual if I don't praise God. And this, some people, they're just shut down, you know, and maybe they're just oppressed and they're in this funk that, you know, maybe they just don't know how to get out of it. And sometimes I'll look out, and I don't do a lot of looking out because sometimes I get discouraged by looking out. But I don't get discouraged here, but I have in other places. And the Lord taught me years ago just to worship me, just to love on me, and don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Because if I worship him in spirit and in truth, then he will release his presence, and his presence will touch people. And all of a sudden, those who will open their hearts will enter into that same place, and they'll begin to worship with us and enjoy the presence of God as his presence fills their hearts. But sometimes I look out and there's somebody just staring at me with their arms folded. The glory of God is in the house and the angels of God are with us and people are getting blasted in the spirit. And they're like, it's like, you know, and then when I look at them, they see I'm looking at them, they go. It's like, forget it. If it's, don't fake it. Just be real, you know. Listen, if you're oppressed, if you find yourself shut down and unable to open up, let some of these Holy Ghost-filled people around you lay hands on you. Amen? But I've discovered that if I feel like that, and there's times when I feel like that, by the way, that what I need to do is what's right, not what I feel like. I want you to hear this. Do what's right, not what you feel like. Because if you just do what you feel like, most of the time you're not going to do the right thing. You do what's right, not what you feel like. And the good feelings will follow. So, what do? The right thing to do is say, you know what? I'm not going to allow the devil to oppress me anymore. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm just shaking this thing off, and I'm going to lift up my voice, and I'm going to begin to praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to do the opposite of what I feel like, and guess what? The good feelings follow obedience. Well, I don't feel like lifting my hands. Well, the Bible says lift up holy hands. And the reason they're holy is because God makes you holy, right? So you can come before Him. Somebody asked, well, what is it like to worship? And I don't know how to explain it. How do you worship God? It's like giving Him a hug. That's how I know how to say it. We give praise to God and you open your heart and you embrace His presence. When you love someone, you embrace them and you pull them to you. You see, it is. It's the same. Even as we see in type in our physical relationships. So there's a spiritual application. And in order for you and I to remain in life, to be free, and to live free of oppression, you know what I'm saying, where you're just bogged down, you've got to praise God. You've got to worship God. That's the solution. You've got to obey His voice. There's sometimes we're not free. We're not free because we're not listening to what He's saying. Sometimes we're holding on to things that we think we need to hold on to, and God is saying, give that to me. What are you doing with that? That doesn't belong to you anymore. You're my son. You're my daughter. Why are you holding on to that sin? Give it to me. And then come and follow me. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Find rest in me. Our level of spirituality is based upon our level of commitment to the Lord. That's a word that's getting rarer all the time in our society. It's called commitment. Commitment. How many know that in order for you to have a personal revival, to come back to life in God, to return to your first love, you're going to have to make the commitment to God. There's going to require some self-discipline to put off some of the things that I may want to do, but they're not really what I should be doing. In order for us to have corporate revival, national revival, it's going to take every one of us walking in personal revival. When we walk in personal revival and we come together, amen, then we're having corporate revival, folks. Amen. How many feel like you've been revived this morning? Yeah. How many have discovered that if you prepare yourself ahead of time and you walk in this place of revival, then it's not something that we have to necessarily tarry for. It's something that you're just continuing in. Because we're under an open heaven. We don't have to wait for church to get revived. Hello, if everybody comes with a mindset that I'm coming to church to get revived, guess what? You're going to have a bunch of corpses walking through the door. And it's going to be dead. Now we have. We have to change the way we think. That's repentance, you know. Change your mind. Say, I choose to walk in revival. I choose to walk in Him. I need to keep myself, amen, protect myself from those things that would choke out the life of God in me. Amen. And I need to fill up on Jesus. Build myself in the Lord, in the Word of God. Amen. In prayer and worship. In service. And as we build ourselves and we come together corporately, then we have, amen, a move of God that begins with maybe a congregation. But if the people of God, amen, in this community start getting back to God, getting back to the main thing, and that is our relationship, our infatuation, our love, our passion for Jesus, where He is the greatest treasure of all. He's the one that I want more than life itself. I want God. David said, thy loving kindness is greater than life. It's better than life. Yes. My lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you and lift up my hands to your name. Amen. In your name. So revival must be on a personal level. so we can have corporate times together. We, each one of us, are, if you will, like a cloud. You know, and if we want a big cloud, all the clouds have to come together. But that cloud grows as we seed it with praise, with obedience. I talked to the group on Friday night. We have prayer meeting here. Well, I tell you what, you need to come to prayer meeting if you can. It's been awesome. And we really had an awesome time Friday night about returning to the altar, about prayer. And, you know, I was really happy to see so many come up this morning before the service ever started, just to prepare themselves, really, but also prepare the atmosphere in here. You know what? Somebody's paying a price for us to have the presence, amen, in this place. And how many know that all of us need to do our part? Everybody needs to be doing their part. Together, we're family. And you know what? When your brother and your sister prosper, so do you. So we're in this together. And how many have discovered that, you know, if things are not going well for your brother and sister, it can affect you too. So that's why we want you to do well. We want you to prosper. We want you to be blessed in the Lord. Amen. We want you to walk in wholeness. Because if part of your body is dysfunctional, amen, how many have ever, you know, hit your thumb with a hammer or done something or stubbed your toe, right? Boy, it's just a little toe, but man, it can make the whole body hurt. And so it is, we are to be that concerned about one another. So that it's not just about me and my needs and my concerns and the drama of my life. It's like, what can I do to make your day? And if we're looking out for one another and the other says, what can I do to make your day? How can I help you get over? And so it's not always a thing, you know, where we're asking for help. How many know there's times you need to ask for help? Amen. But we should never ask for help because we're just wanting the attention of having somebody help us. Folks, that is selfish. It's selfish if we're just looking for attention. Jesus taught us to love. Amen? Amen. He said, even love your enemies. How many know your enemies are not going to love you first? He said, love your enemies. You just love. That's what you're supposed to do. Love. Love people. Even the ones that don't like you, love them too. Oh, I can't do that. That's right, you can't. But you can do it through Christ. And that's why you need to abide in Christ and have the love of God. Amen. The life of Christ in you. So that you can do what naturally you couldn't do. But you're supernatural in the Lord. So you can do things that go contrary to what nature says even. How many of you can change circumstances, change environments, change people around you because you're a supernatural person because you have a supernatural God on the inside of you? Amen. We don't need to be victims. If you're in Christ today, you're no longer a victim. You're a victor. Yes. You're an overcomer. You just need to know that. You just need to believe that. You need to believe that about yourself. I'm an overcomer. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm an overcomer. Do you believe that? Any of us that have been married understand that marriage is more than just a good feeling. It's a commitment. It means we're going to stick this thing out. We're going to work this thing out. We're going to make it work through hell and high water. No matter what happens, we have made this commitment to one another and we're going to work it out. And it has to be from both sides. Sometimes that doesn't happen, and when it becomes that way, then it becomes a problem, right, man? When you're not working together now. But it requires that even though my wife and I may have a bad day, you know, I had to spend too much time on the pouting bench at Walmart, you know, or I've learned to get up there with her now. I just go shopping with her now. But how many guys will say amen? Yeah, I get that. I feel your pain. But, you know, we would go, and I would just always be like nagging her, and come on, we got to get going. Just go and get what you want. Let's get out of here, you know. Of course, none of you have ever done that, but ladies are saying, yeah, that sounds about right, yeah. But sometimes, you know, we get under each other's skin, and we have our moments. But, you know, our love goes deeper than that. Because we have committed to one another and we have decided that we're going to work this out together. We're going to grow in our love together. And you know how you do that? By loving one another. It's that simple. Just decide in your heart, I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to love my husband. I'm going to do what's right. Even it means sometimes when I want to do something and she wants to do something else, we're going to go with what she wants. Say amen, ladies. Or vice versa. Say amen, guys, right? But there has to be agreement. There has to be a commitment. You know as well as I do that in America, there's a lack of commitment to anything. As soon as it doesn't feel good, I'm out of here. We're touchy-feely people, you know. It felt good. Hey, it was great. And now it doesn't feel good. I'm done. And sometimes, you know, you have to feel bad before you can feel good. Sometimes in your Christian life, you're going to have to feel bad before you can feel good. In other words, you have to come to an awareness of your wretchedness. Amen. You have to come to an awareness of your condition, your true condition, so you can feel bad enough about it to say, you know what? I don't want this anymore. I repent. I make up my mind. I forsake that. And I'm embracing Jesus. I'm embracing life. I'm going to go His way. And before you can feel good, there has to be sometimes godly sorrow that works true repentance. May the Spirit of the Lord give us all godly sorrow in the areas where we need it. That's my prayer. So that we will forsake death and embrace life, because Jesus came that we might have life. He wants you to enjoy life with Him. Amen? That's it. He's not a stingy God. He wants to just blast your life with His goodness and with His grace and His love and fill your life with Jesus. But it requires you and I saying, I am committed to Jesus. I'm married to Him. How many here are married to Jesus? So if it gets tough, if it gets difficult, that's the time not to run away from Jesus, but it's the time to go deeper into His heart. When adversity comes against you, don't ever run away from God. Run to Him. Call upon Him. Draw near to Him and He'll draw near to you. And sometimes God's not going to change your circumstances. But what He will do is change you in the midst of that. Oh, I've cried out to God. I've prayed. I've begged. I've done all this stuff about certain things in my life that I didn't like, that I want God to take away. You can lay hands and try to rebuke it, whatever it is, and it's just not going to happen. Why? Because there's a process that you're in. We talked about this a little bit the other day about process or event. We're event people, you know. It was an instant thing. I want to go up and have them lay hands on me, and I want to be done. You can't grow. How many know laying hands on people is not going to mature them? You can receive healing, you can receive an anointing, but it ain't going to mature you. The only way you're going to mature is through the work, the process that God will take you through in the Spirit. And sometimes through tribulation, through difficulties. And we must, as Paul said, through many tribulations enter into the kingdom. But God promises that in the end it will all be worth it. You will be glad that God brought you through His process. We talked about it this morning a little bit. How many can look back in your life and say, you know, I've been through some tough times?
Yep.
Everybody. Yep. We've been through some tough times. But then you can look back and say, you know, but on the other hand, if I hadn't had that tough time, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. I wouldn't be the person I am today.
Amen.
I would be just a wimp, a limperist weakling. If you want to be something, you're going to have to go through something. You know, some of us, we get a little pain, you know. It's like, oh. Because some of us guys know how to work that really good, you know. Oh, honey. But sometimes it's just a little thing, you know. But we just exaggerate it. We make it bigger than it really is. Ladies don't do the same thing now. Not as much, I will say. However, sometimes, folks, you know, we're just a little bit on the wimpy side and God wants to toughen us up a little bit. Isn't it true? God wants to toughen up his people. He wants to strengthen you and I. He wants to make us steadfast, unmovable. So we can constantly be abounding in the work of the Lord. No matter what happens, that's it, I quit. First time something goes wrong, well, I'm going to be an evangelist. I'm going to be an apostle. I'm going to be a prophet. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. And the first time something happens, that's it, I'm out of here. First time somebody opposes you, this New Year's, I'm going to serve the Lord. And what happened? Come on, we make shallow commitments sometimes, don't we? We need to get back to a full-blown, I'm all in, no looking back, no turning back, that's it, I'm done with death commitment. I am totally sold out for Jesus. That's what God wants, because he's raising up a people in this generation who are truly sold out for him, who are not going to look back, are not going to shrink back. And he's strengthening and equipping and preparing you and I to be steadfast and unmovable and abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor in the Lord is never in vain. Knowing that there's an inheritance for us, there's a better life coming, amen? A better world? We're not living for the temporary convenience of this thing right now, amen? We're living for eternity. We're living for heaven. In Revelation 2, in verse 1, was actually my text this morning. To the angel of the church of Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was this vibrant, wealthy center of land and sea trade. It was the capital of Asia Minor. It was very influential. It's where Paul had preached the gospel. Even the founding fathers of the church died in Ephesus. However, another generation arose after that first generation that had lost their zeal for God. How many know that today, if you go to Ephesus, there's nothing but ruins there? There's nothing but destruction. The church had forsaken their commitment to Christ, and the light went out. And so the Lord spoke by the angel here to the church. These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, that's the Lord, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. This sounds like a pretty busy, active church to me. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Now, it doesn't say that they lost their first love. It says that they left their first love. How many know that Jesus never stops loving you? Aren't you glad? Because he would have stopped loving me a long time ago. But he never stops loving me. But he's rebuking the church here because, first of all, he's commending them for the things that they're doing good. But then he brings in a rebuke and he says, but you've left your first love. And so he was telling them, you need to take a look at where you are. Compare that to where you were. And go back to that place, that commitment, that level of intimacy, that passion, that desire that you had for me. And, you know, where life was awesome. How many are thinking about it right now? How many just take a moment to think back? Some of you said yes, affirmatively. I'm even more in love today than I was then. And you know, that's a healthy relationship. A marriage is the same way. You love your spouse more if it's healthy and you grow together than you did when you thought you were really in love before. Because most times the love we're talking about is that infatuation, that kind of that buzz, you know. Oh, he's so dreamy. She's so wonderful, you know. She's awesome. Well, what a hot babe, you know. And so often, come on, you know, we really have a shallow concept of what love is. There may be some genuine love there, but it's really, it's not deep love. Deep love is something that has to grow, and it often grows through adversity. You got to get your roots down. And so it is in Christ. We need to grow into Him. Amen. Grow up in Him so that we are steadfast. We have our roots down. We're committed to this thing. No matter if it gets hard or not, I'm committed to Him all the way. We're totally committed to the way forward. We're going forward. We're not looking back. He says, remember, therefore, verse 5, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And again, that's exactly what happened, folks. They didn't listen to the voice of God. Three things we need to consider. Number one, remember. Remember your former devotion to Christ. Two, change your mind. Repent of the present lack of love and devotion. Three, return and do the things characteristic of your earlier devotion to Jesus. Remember where you were. Repent, turn away from your present lack of love and devotion to Him, and return to Him and do the things characteristic of your earlier devotion to Christ. See, this church was sound in teaching. They were a good church by all appearances. They were able to spot the fakes among them, the false apostles, you know. And they were very active, and they didn't get weary in their service. They were serving God. But what happened was somehow the love that they had for God grew cold. It was diminishing. And folks, this is my message today, is, and really the question is, are we where we're supposed to be today? Are we right where we're supposed to be with Christ? And I don't want you to make a quick snap. Oh, yeah. I want you to really think about this. Are you as loving and infatuated and passionate about Jesus as you were at one time? Or has that kind of waned? Has that kind of diminished? Have you kind of drifted away? And even though you're doing the church things and the activities and the service even to God, and yet somehow our hearts are not in love with the person of Jesus Christ. Is my heart, am I in love with Jesus? Because that's going to determine, folks, your future. Do you hear that? If you don't really love, if you're not in love with Jesus, you're only going to go for so long. And the Lord says, unless you turn back to me, I'm going to remove your lampstand. And folks, let me just say that for some, that has already happened. For some people in the church, that has already happened. Their light has gone out. Some of them are still going to church, going through the motions, but their light is out. We've got people, we call them the frozen chosen. And there are a lot of churches of the first church of the frigid air, you know. You walk in, it's like, whew, they just have a wake in here. But when you got a people that are in love with Jesus, that are pursuing Him, that are seekers of Him, that want Him more than the stuff of Him, are you with me? We just want His presence. then we are people who are walking in life. We return to God and we return to life. We return to Jesus. And he's the one, amen, that takes out the spiritual, what are the liberators or those things, and they do the paddles. And he puts them on, and you go, boom. You're like, choo. You come back to life. Hallelujah. Anybody beside myself ever need a jump start once in a while? Folks, listen. The harvest, okay? The harvest, the lost souls, the lost humanity around us requires that you and I are people of his presence. That you and I are people that are seeking God with all of our heart. People that we are pursuing him, that we are drinking of him, that we are living and abiding in him, that we are, amen, passionate for him. It requires that we have a heart that goes after him, because unless you and I are walking in that revival personally, there will be no corporate revival. And if there's no corporate revival in the church, guess what? That's where society goes, folks. The reason why America's where it's at is because the church has lost its first love, has left its first love. And we blame society. Say, oh, look how they're living. How could they do this? How can they marry those people like that? And we complain about the stuff that's going around us. And yet God says it's my people. They've left their first love. They've left me. They're doing all this church stuff. All this church is all across the nation doing all this church stuff. But where is our heart at? Is our heart really for God? Or we just kind of got caught up into this thing, this routine, this ritual, going through the motions. And that's what the Lord is saying here. He says, if you don't repent, I'm going to come quickly. In other words, it's going to happen when you don't realize it. All of a sudden, it's like that. And the candlestick is gone. It's out of its place unless you repent. And now today, there's nothing left. How many know we're not talking about a building called the Church of Ephesus? We're not talking about an organization called the Church of Ephesus. How many know that the Church of Ephesus was a group of people that met in that location? It was the people that lost their light. How many would agree with me? It's kind of important then that we get back to Jesus, and we do so quickly. Amen. And that we turn back to him with our whole heart. There is one common denominator throughout all the revivals in history. And that is there has been a great hunger for God's presence. How many here are hungry for God's presence? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God desires to be desired. I ask myself this question. If I don't have a desire for him, then what's taking his place? If you're not hungry and thirsty for him, if you don't have a desire for him, folks, then you need to ask the Lord, Lord, where is the idol in my heart? What other God do I have before you then? If that's not there, if that love, if that passion is not there in my heart, then what is it that has taken your place in my life? Would you bow your heads this morning and ask God that very question? Do you have a desire for him? Are you passionate about him? It's like he's passionate for you. Really think about this and say, oh, Holy Spirit, turn the light on right now. Reveal to me, Lord, where the idols are. What are the idols? And right now, I'm going to forsake every other god. The Lord said, you will have no other gods before me. He's not going to play second fiddle to anything. It's time for us to return. As I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit has been showing some of you, even here, you know it. He's saying, this is the area. Well, maybe it's the God of pleasure. You're just looking for pleasure to pleasure to pleasure to pleasure to feel good. And you're not understanding that there's no pleasure greater or higher than the pleasure of the Lord. And so the worldly pleasure has become an idol. And you need to repent. And you need to forsake it right now and before the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm not going to allow any other gods, no other idols before you. The God of entertainment, the God of addiction. All drug addiction is idolatry. You must immediately forsake it. You must immediately break it. And the power of the Holy Spirit is here to set you free. Are you willing to truly give it all over to Jesus? Do you mean business this time, or are you self-confident that you can do it? Let me tell you, you can't beat that devil. You need God to set you free. You need just to come all the way, all the way. And I want to ask, if you're here today, maybe you just feel like, you know what, I really want to come and I want to spend some time and just, I want to seek the Lord. I want to pray. Folks, something that has been missing in so many of the churches is time at the altar. And you know what, there's not a one of us here that doesn't need to spend some time, amen, praying at the altar. And so it's not a thing, oh, I'm holier than you are and look at you, you're the one with a problem and I'm the holy one. No, we're all the one with a problem apart from Jesus. We all need to pray. We all need to pray through. We all need to return. If you're here today and you know in your heart that you're really not where you used to be, where you know you should be, would you just be honest enough to say, you know what, Jesus, I'm making the decision and I'm going to do it publicly today. And I'm not ashamed to say I need to come back to you. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to confess you before men right now. I want you to name those things as the Lord shows them to you. Name them out and just say, I renounce them. I forsake this idolatry, this idol in my heart. I forsake it. I renounce it in Jesus' name. Lord, I repent today. And Lord, I recommit. I give my life back to you, God. I want to return to my first love. I want to return to that place, Lord, where my heart is blazing with passion, blazing with desire. So in love, so in love, so in love with you. Oh, God, you are my God. I come. Jesus, I come to you. Lord, let my heart be changed and renewed. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Release your healing. Release your spirit now, Holy Spirit. Come from the four winds. Oh, revive. Let these dry bones, Lord, receive life. God, I give you my life. I give you my heart. God, we come back. God, fill us with holy passion. Oh, wind of God, breathe on us. Breathe on us. Hallelujah. I'm willing to say I'm not all that. I'm not all that I should be. And Lord, I come to you because you complete me. You heal me. And so we take authority over all the works of the enemy right now. Over all the works of Satan, we take authority over it right now. And every demon in the name of Jesus, you hear right now, and I adjure you by Jesus, that in the name of Jesus, you get out now. The Lord rebuke you. Loose them right now. Spirit of addiction, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Spirit of fear, we command you in Jesus' name. Loose them right now. Satan, let God's people go now in Jesus' name. We break you in the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. We release the anointing. We release the fire. Lord, burn in us with holy passion. Burn in us with holy desire. Fill us with your fire. Fill us with your love. The fire of your love burns within me, consuming my heart and restoring my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I decree freedom to captives today. Opening of eyes to the blind. Opening of deaf ears in the name of Jesus. We come against sickness and we come against disease now. We come against infirmity in the name of Jesus. We rebuke you. We command you to go. Sickness, disease, go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You take authority of it in your own life. Don't tolerate it. Don't tolerate the devil. Don't tolerate sin. Deal with it. Hallelujah. Put it to death. Live in life. Walk in life. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Father, release your healing. Release your joy. Lord, we come, we return. We come back, Lord. Let our hearts be changed. Let our minds be renewed. Let our souls be restored to our first love. We want to know how high, how deep, how wide is your love. Your amazing love. The love of God that passes knowledge. Oh, God. Ooh, yes. We rejoice. Hallelujah. Some of you need to cast off the condemnation. The devil's convinced you that God doesn't love you. He's a liar. Topple that thing right now. Take it down. Say, that's a lie. Jesus loves me. This I know. For his word declares it so. I believe. For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. That he died for me. That he lives for me. That he's for me and not against me. If God be for you, who can be against you? Ooh, yeah, yeah. I'm here to tell you today, God is for you. Would you come? Would you trust him? Would you give him your life? Give him your heart? Give him your days? Give him your future? New day. It's a new beginning for you today. It's a fresh start. Lord, help us to find our direction. Put your burden in our hearts, Lord. Take us back to that old landmark. Take us back to that place. Take us back to that place in you, Lord. Oh, Jesus.
So in love, I'm so in love with you. So in love, I'm so in love with you. So in love, I'm so in love with you. So in love, I'm so in love with you.